Today I'm talking about remember the miracles. Amen. The Lord spoke to me years ago. He said, if you remember the miracles I've already worked, I'll do it again. I've been trying to remember my whole life the great things God has done from time to time or on a regular basis. In my church in Lexington, I developed an intimate relationship with the Lord through prayer and fasting and meditating on the Word. And while praying in our bedroom, one night I was instructed to go to Knoxville and start a church from zero. Do not pastor an existing church, pioneer a church. That was a scary proposition, and so I wanted to be sure it wasn't the devil. You know, it was God. So today we just want to celebrate the miracle of the Knoxville Christian Center. Dottie and I, after that, drove to Knoxville and looked the place over. Of course, it was a very scary proposition to come and start a church with nothing. Yay. And that was the instruction. Start from zero. So we looked the place over, and I convinced myself this is not God's will. There's no way in the world this could possibly be God's will. To make matters worse, the church in Lexington had just given me a pay raise, and let me know when the board meets and gives you a pay raise, you're in God's will. And then God had given us a brand new house, the only new house we ever lived in. Yay. And God had given us a beautiful baby girl that wasn't quite a year old. And so I decided I was in the will of God. So we drove back to Knoxville. And I just could not get it out of me, this Knoxville thing. It kept ringing in my heart and head. So I came back to Knoxville to just check the place out one more time, came by myself, and went to a minister's meeting where I met several ministers. And one was a young preacher that when we decided to come, he let us stay in his basement so we wouldn't have to pay a motel, or hotel. So God knew exactly what he was doing, even though I was just guessing and hoping, you know, that I wasn't making a mistake. And as I was driving back that day to Lexington, I felt directed to pick a scripture from a stack of scriptures that I had bought in Gatlinburg, and it was scripture selected by the great Billy Graham. And as I pulled out one of those scriptures, here's what it said. And I had just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you've got to show me your will because I got to make up my mind. You know, I'm distracted from what I'm doing in Lexington. And I keep coming back down, keep thinking about Knoxville. I need to know what your will is. And here's the verse, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. I said, but Lord, I don't know what your will is. How can I ask for your will? And it's like God just dropped it in my heart. He says, well, you know it's my will for you to have my will, so ask for my will. Amy, sometimes that's all you need to do. Just ask for God's will and shut up. Yay. Sometimes he'll grab you by the hair of the head, if you have hair, and just pick you up and put you where he wants you and may not tell you anything. He puts you in the will of God. And I believe that's what he was doing with me and Dot at that time. He was slowly moving us, and we weren't really aware that it was God. So I said, Lord, I ask for your will right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I can't explain what happened, but all of a sudden, overwhelming anointing of revelation knowledge hit me, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I had God's will for Knoxville, but I didn't know what it was. I knew it was in here. Yay. And sometimes that's just the way it is. You get this no-so in you, and as you walk it out, God directs you and you see it. Hearing from God sometimes it can be very different. I knew I had it, but I wasn't sure what it was. So I got back to Knoxville and Lexington. Somewhere in the United States. I got to Lexington and started doing my job, but felt everything had changed. Things just weren't the same. When I preached, I didn't have the rapport with the people I had before. And Dottie said to me, she said, well, you better get your mind off of Knoxville. If you keep preaching like that, you're going to have to leave here. Yay. And I no longer had that rapport with the church or the people. Then I realized I had been reprogrammed for Knoxville. I was at a point I had no choice in it. It was God. It was His will. And He dropped that will in me that day. And it manifested itself in the sense I had been reprogrammed for Knoxville and didn't even know it. When I told Dottie that I believed we were going to Knoxville, I learned not to tell my wife things right before bedtime. Yay. Especially if she don't want to hear it. So she slept on the sofa and cried herself to sleep. She did not want to leave Lexington. She didn't want to leave her beautiful new house. And she didn't want to start a new church, pioneer a church with a baby that wasn't even a year old. And so she just cried herself to sleep. And so I said, Lord, you know I can't go to Knoxville without Dottie. So you're going to have to talk to her. So I invited a guy named George Gray to preach that next Sunday morning. And as far as I know, he'd never even been to Lexington. I'm sure he had. But he was basically in Louisville. And so he came to preach that Sunday morning. And without me knowing it, Dottie asked for a sign. She said, Lord, if you want us to go to Knoxville, allow George Gray to mention Knoxville in his message today. And she sat back and grinned because she knew that he wasn't going to mention Knoxville. If he said anything, it was going to be Louisville. In the middle of his message, George said, I was saved on a train going from Knoxville to Louisville in a very low voice. Now, I wasn't sitting by her. I was up front, and she was in the back. Dottie said, what did he say? And he said, in a loud voice, I said I was saved saved on a train, going from Knoxville to Louisville, in a very loud voice. And so, after church, Dottie was just bouncing around, and she was so happy and upbeat. I'm thinking, what happened to her? You know, because she was not a happy camper. But God had given her her own personal word in some way stronger than what I had. And she was totally convinced this is where we needed to be. After Dottie and I were convinced, I just want you to see the miracles and things that God worked. I mean, I blew it from the very first, you know. But God works with people who blow it. Can you say amen? If you may feel like you've blown everything, that's okay. God can turn that around and put you in a good place. So after we were convinced, we resigned the church and came to Knoxville. And we gave a 30-day notice there in Lexington. I thought, well, they'll never find a pastor in 30 days, you know, if they don't have a pastor. Then I can stay on another month or two. No. When they had a chance to get rid of me, they elected a pastor in 2 weeks. I was gone. Can you say, oh, me. So I was almost in a panic. And at the end of the first 2 weeks of looking all over Knoxville, we couldn't find anything. The next Monday morning after we got back and they elected the pastor, that's Sunday, we drove back to Knoxville believing God that He was going to work everything out. And said, Lord, I don't have anything. I got 2 weeks and two more paychecks, and I don't have a place to live, don't have a place to have church, don't have a way to feed my baby. You've got to work something out. And let me know, sometimes you've already burned the bridge, you know. Don't be burning the bridge unless you're totally convinced. And I was totally convinced, but it wasn't working. If God tells you something and it's not working, don't worry about it. Amen. If God said it, you keep believing God. Keep standing on the word. Amen. He gave you. This is the confidence we have in Him. We ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And I asked for God's will, and I knew I had it in me. It was like being pregnant with a church, and I want you to know it's still there today. I saw a house for sale in the New Sentinel on Angola Road that had an assumable loan. Do you understand? When you resign your church, you don't have a paycheck, you can't borrow money. How many financial wizards here that know that? Okay. So when I saw this ad, an assumable FHA loan, I called the owner that night and asked if I assumed the loan, would he carry a second mortgage on the equity? And he said no. That was really my last hope of getting a place to live, you know, at least where we owned it. And you can't find anything in 2 weeks. It has to be a miracle. I could not borrow money from any institution, and from a bank or a loan company, and I was stuck. So things were looking very bad. We were staying in the basement of that young minister I mentioned earlier to save money. When I went to the minister's meeting, I told the folks I was thinking about trying to pioneer a church in Knoxville, and this young guy said, well, you can stay in my basement for a while if you need to. So I took him up on it. Don't make me promises unless you're serious. Now that night, I went to bed. I mean, I was devastated. I'm a man of responsibility. I believe in taking care of my family, my kids, myself. I don't believe in counting on other people to take care of me. I believe God called me to take care of myself and my family. Can you say amen? So I woke up at 4 o'clock with the spirit of fear all over me. And let me tell you right now, the spirit of fear can be the most damaging, dangerous thing you can allow. When people hear the word cancer, there's a spirit of fear comes on them. And if they don't get that fear off of them, almost certainly cancer is going to kill them. I've been watching that, you know, for years and years and years and years and years. Fear is your number one enemy, and it's the devil. Fear is the total opposite to faith. I started praying, oh God, what am I going to do? Right in the middle of the night. And you know, very often that's when the devil shows up. Wakes you up out of dead sleep and yells, boo! As I was praying, God said, you're wrong. I said, wait a minute. What do you mean I'm wrong? I come down here to start a church. I can't find a place to live. I don't have any money to feed that baby in there. I don't have a job. I don't have a house. I don't have a place to have church. And you tell me I'm wrong? He said, yes, you're wrong. You're praying out of fear and doubt. Now stop it. He sent me here to tell you today, if you're praying out of fear and doubt, stop it. Yay. Well, I didn't know how to stop it. So I just started prancing around there. There was another room there in that basement, and I went in there so I wouldn't bother Dottie, and I was dancing around praising God. And all of a sudden, my faith came back. I had this no-so peace. I went back to bed and went to sleep. See, the devil was trying to discourage me and cause me to quit. He knows you can't stop you, so he wants you to quit. And I was so discouraged. If God hadn't spoken to me, I'd already blown it. And God rebuked me. And because of that, I got peace, went back to bed, and got up with peace, excited. If God hadn't spoke to me, I probably would just slept in that day and missed the day God had scheduled to work everything out. You need to know a key word. It's the 11th commandment. I'm going to preach on it again someday. Thou shalt not quit. Thou shalt not quit. We are doing a little better today on the yeses and amenings and normal, so that's good. So I woke up excited around 7 o'clock, and I said to Dottie, let's go see what God will do. We drove by a Christian radio station, and the manager signed a contract with me for 1 year, knowing I had no way of paying except by faith. And God spoke to me and he said, the first thing I want you to do is get on the radio. And everybody knows I have a fabulous radio voice like Adrian Rogers. Thank you, Jesus. That's faith talking. That's a lot of faith talking. But anyway, that's what I did. And that's what was so special when Nancy Clifton came up last Sunday and said, I heard you the very first day you're on the radio in 1980. And I'm here today because of it. And so radio stations changed. I was on another radio station, and I was preaching the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus and baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they kicked me off. And the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you to buy your own station. We got two stations now, and ain't nobody kicking me off. We drove by the Ramada Inn, and I'd been there before trying to find a place to have church, and the sales manager wasn't there. This day she was there. She rented me a large room for church all day on Sunday for $35. You know, I thought I was having some kind of hallucination because I'd been to other hotels around town, and every one of them, almost without exception, wanted $350 per service. I had a room for 10% of one service for all day. And I went back out to the car. Dad was sitting in the car with a baby and had no place to leave her, you know. And I said, God's doing something. I don't know what, but let's go see. Let's go. And I'd seen that house on Angola, and the guy said he would not take a second mortgage, and I had to have a second mortgage. And so I said, well, let's go over and check that house out. I mean, I'm on a roll now. We drove to the house on Angola Road, and that's the house you saw in the picture. That's why it's in the picture. When that picture was made, I had left the door open. I've been trying now for 43 years to go back and close that door, and I hadn't been able to do it. Back to the future. Okay. We drove to the house on Angola Road to meet the owner and asked him to work with us. The guy changed his mind on the spot. He allowed us to assume the FHA loan, and he carried a second mortgage, $6,000 at 12% interest with a monthly payment of $50 and a balloon payment in 3 years to pay the thing off. When he got home, he lived right over here in Belmont. I went over there to pick up the keys. So he lived right across the street from where we are now. And so when he got home, his wife says, what is wrong with you? She said $50 a month doesn't even cover the interest on $6,000. It's 12%. A loan back then was 21 and 22%. You think it's bad now? That's what I had to deal with. 21, 22%, and he charged me 12%, which was a real deal. But his wife said, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know. I just wanted to help the guy. I know. Amen. I know. The Holy Spirit was working on him in the name of Jesus. And he gave me permission. I said, well, is it okay if I put a telephone in his house? I said, I want to have a phone listed in next year's Yellow Pages. Now, I know today you don't know what Yellow Pages are. But back then, if your church wasn't listed in the Yellow Pages, you probably weren't going to have anybody coming because that's where everybody looked for a church, Yellow Pages. And I said, I want a phone listed next year's Yellow Pages. And can I install it in his house? He said, well, you just bought the house, so I guess you can. So I called the phone company that same day and asked if we could have a phone listed in next year's Yellow Pages. And they said, yes, but the deadline for the Yellow Pages for next year is today at 4 o'clock. It was 3 o'clock. No, it wasn't. I was born fast. I'm a Zoomer. And so I've done a lot of Zooming, but not on the computer. It was 3 o'clock. I said, Dottie, we got to go. And we's over here off of Oak Ridge Highway. And we went flying downtown. I didn't know anything about downtown, but I knew. And we didn't have GPS. Yay. And I had to find the phone company, and I found it and went flying in. There was no Knoxville Christian Center, so I had to write a personal check for the phone. And they got that phone, got me a number, and listed next year's Yellow Pages. And it was 4 o'clock. In one day, God worked everything out. In one day, I had a radio broadcast like God told me to do. And nobody could ever tell me God didn't tell me to do it, because Nancy came up last Sunday and said, God, I said, I heard you on the very first day we were here in 1980. And then he gave us the Ramada Inn to have church. That place looked more like a church than this place. And it was fantastic. We had 3 rooms. We could have children's church, big church, and other things. We rented some rooms, guest rooms, you know, for nursery and various things. It worked great. And a lot of hotels, it wouldn't work out like that. These rooms were all on the second floor. And, I mean, it was just fantastic. It was almost God-designed. We stayed there 4.5 years. Well, we still had to sell our house in Lexington, Kentucky. W.L. Rogers, Pastor Bob Rogers' father, he was like my mentor, and I had him to come to Knoxville, and he looked around, and he said, Barry, whatever you do, do not resign your church in Lexington until you sell your house in Lexington, because you can wind up in Knoxville paying 2 mortgages. Let me know, that is excellent advice. I said, let me know, that's good advice. Well, when God, I knew God had told us to come, I didn't care about advice. I resigned. Okay. And that house was still not, I didn't even have it up for sale. And remember, 2 weeks. And no matter what I do here, I'm still going to have to make that payment. It's a brand new house, so it was a sizable payment. So when I got back to Lexington, I called some realtors, and they said, it was taking 6 months to 1 year to sell a house in that price range. And they said, I don't think there's any way you're going to sell this quickly. It's just not going to happen. And so I left and said, you bunch of losers. So I didn't sign anything with them. I could not wait. So I put a for sale sign in the yard. Okay, me and God are going to sell this house in 2 weeks and get it closed up. Amen. Then God told me what to do. He said, call all the ladies in the church and ask them if they know someone who wants to buy your house. Now, that's the craziest thing I've heard in my life. But I really felt it was God, so I started calling them, and I called a whole bunch of them, and all of a sudden I felt like, this is silly, I'm not going to call anybody else, but I'd already called the right one. So I couldn't wait. I had to sell the thing and sell it quick. So God told me what to do. And one of the ladies I called was Shirley Massengill that owned a small store. A realtor called me almost immediately and said, I stopped by Shirley's store and she said you had a house for sale on Cologne Way. He said, I was driving last night with a young couple looking for a house on your street. Y'all still out there? Lights are bright. Thank you. He said, if you will give me a one-time contract to show your house, I believe I have your house sold. I said, okay, if you want to show it, I'll pay you 4%. I mean, I was getting really bold now. I mean, you know, I had the devil by the horns. The going rate was 6%. And I said, I'll pay you 4% and give you a one-time showing. He said, deal. He brought them over, and they bought that house, and it closed within just a few days. Which means they had to have the money. God had it all planned. Y'all still paying attention? The good news is, this is the way God wants to direct your life. Well, you're a preacher. Sure, God's going to direct you. We're all preachers in God's eyes. You're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You're called to show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. How can you show forth the praises of Him when you live in failure and defeat and depression and sick all the time? You see, we stayed in the Ramada Inn for a total of 4.5 years. I liked it there. There was a for sale sign on this property right here in 1982. Some of our men put a tent on the back of the property back here and prayed that God in His will would give us this property. And if you haven't noticed, right now this property is probably dead center of the whole population. You can't get a better location. We're 2 minutes from the two major expressways in the United States. I-75 and I-40. Y'all paying attention yet? And so after 3 days of camping out back there, fasting and praying, the owners decided not to sell. They had planned to build condos here. And it was during this time that our second daughter was born with a major heart condition. I mean, the devil tried to kill us. He tried to shut us down in every possible way. And during open heart surgery, I discovered she was not covered by our insurance policy. I was supposed to put her on within 30 days, and I didn't know that. I read the policy sitting in the waiting room while they were doing major open heart surgery. Let me know that cost more than $50. That's an expensive thing. And I saw a vision that Satan was trying to kill that baby, really to kill us, not literally kill us, but to shut us down and keep us from building this church. And the church was just barely 2 years old and didn't have a building or anything. So he was just going to kill it. And boy, I was discouraged because I realized it was my fault, my mistake, because I didn't put her on that policy. Psalm 91, verse 11, the Lord spoke to me and He said, He gave me this verse, where He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Of course, I had heard that many times, but I never noticed the last few words. Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. What does that mean? It means He'll give His angels charge over you to bear you up even if you make a mistake. He said, I've got this. I'm sending my angels to Frankfurt. That's where I bought the policy, to Frankfort, Kentucky, and I'm getting that policy back for you. And it's almost a year to the day, the Department of Insurance called me and said, we just slapped a big fine on the insurance company. If they don't give you that policy back, I believe you'll be getting a call from the insurance company. We got a call, and they put Sabrina on our insurance policy, and they paid for the surgery and for the operation 100%. Y'all need to say a big amen. Yeah. God will do the same thing for anybody who will serve Him. You shall serve the Lord. That's the number one thing. 2 or 3 months after they decided not to sell this property, I stopped by. Just listen to these miracles. Well, you must be a clever guy. Well, I can be kind of clever and tricky, but I can't work miracles. 2 or 3 months after, but not without God, two or three months after they decided not to sell the property, I dropped by a Volunteer Realty, and I got to know the owner pretty good, Gordon Smith. And he said to me, I had no clue, and I knew that this bank was in trouble. The United American Bank went under, and the owners of that property have decided to sell it because they have a note on the property, and the new bank, First Tennessee, just called the note due, so they're going to sell the property. If you want it, it's yours. They said, you're not buying this property. God says, yes, you are. Can you say amen? So we started building in 1984 and moved here in May 1985. And in 1988, we built the nursery wing, which is right back there. We got here before. We was the only thing here. Weigel's was the only thing anywhere around here. The apartments weren't there. And so someone bought that and started building the apartments. Well, they had a bunch of lumber left over. And they gave us the lumber to build that wing. It's about only part of the building that's built out of wood. Yay. And so at that time, several families moved away. Some left the church, and the income just started to drop. When things seemed to be great, it's just like the devil said, I'm going to turn your water off. Things didn't look good. A spirit of confusion came over me, and that was around 1988. I decided that the Knoxville Christian Center needed a better pastor. I said, God, if these folks had a good pastor, this thing could grow and do great things, so I'm going to find a good pastor. Amen. I was so confused. It was a demonic spirit. How many know you need to pray for your preacher? Right. If God's going to take, the devil's going to take anybody, it's going to be the leader. Satan was trying to use me to kill the church. On a Monday morning, I went to McDonald's. And I mean, we already had the kids enrolled in another school in another city, far from here. I was out of here. On a Monday morning, I went to McDonald's and started drinking coffee. I went to the bathroom. I want to prophesy right here, right now. If you're fasting and you drink a lot of coffee, you will go to the bathroom. Thus saith the Lord. And so I'm walking back from the bathroom, and McDonald's is packed out. And it's the one right up from the mall, West Ham Mall on Kingston Pike. You know, years ago they rebuilt it and put these beautiful arches. I guess they're still there. And been over a little while. And as I came back through, this man, back then they had these kind of clusters where a lot of people kind of sit in a circle. They didn't know about COVID. And they're all sitting close together, and he's sitting in the middle of them. And as I walked by, he jumped straight up, and he said, are you a preacher? I said, me? Yes, you. I said, yes. Have you been thinking about quitting your church? I said, man, it's Monday morning. Every preacher quits on Monday morning. He said, you're the one. Come outside. I followed this guy outside. Never seen him before in my life. And haven't seen him since. And he said, I was driving from Chattanooga to Ohio, I think Cincinnati, and the Lord directed me to come here and wait on you. Now, you know where that McDonald's is? It's not near the exit. Y'all paying attention? This church is here because of God. So I got off. I mean, he got off, and God directed to that McDonald's, and he picked me out of all those people. And he said, thus saith the Lord, standing out in the parking lot. I've called you to be a watchman over this city. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. You are not to leave. That made me mad. I went home and I told Dottie, the devil wants us to stay here out of the will of God so much, he sent a nut to McDonald's to tell me to stay. You talk about being confused and messed up. I was messed up. And don't think it can't happen to you. That's why you need to fast and pray and seek God every day of your life. And I was, but the devil was on me. I still thought I was supposed to leave, but we could not find a pastor for this church. And still, it was pretty good shape, pretty good income, and nice new building, and best location in Knoxville. Nobody would even consider it. And so Bob Rogers, I've spent my life right here. Bob's traveled all the world. He knows everybody. He knows people in China and in India. He's got a TV station in Palestine in Bethlehem right now. Okay. I said, Bob, help me find a pastor of this crazy church. And we couldn't find anybody. It went on for quite a while. One day I was laying on the bed praying, God, is there anyone who can pastor this church? And I heard a voice say, yes. I said, well, who is it? There's a long pause, and the voice said, you. This place has become a death sentence. I'll never be able to leave Knoxville. In 1989, In 1994, we built the children's wing, and that's the new wing back this way. It's not new now. And where the offices are on this side, we borrowed, I think, $600,000 and built that. And then we needed this new sanctuary. We had an architect to draw it up. $2 million. We had nothing. In 1998, we had a visitor from California that received a miracle healing. He was sitting here in the congregation. God healed his back. I didn't know who he was. Came up after the church and said, God healed my back. That guy gave us $1.6 million to build this. And I don't know the exact numbers, but we raised about another million, and here we are. In 2002, God spoke to me to buy a radio station. I mentioned that earlier. And he gave me this verse, Isaiah 43:19. When God speaks to me and gives me a verse, it's over with. I know it's God. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And that's exactly what he has done. I don't know where the money came from, but money started coming from everywhere. The church board met and agreed to set up a separate corporation to run radio stations because they did not want the church to be responsible for radio stations. How many know that's wisdom? Because you can get sued with radio stations. They can't sue the Knoxville Christian Center because it doesn't belong directly to the Knoxville Christian Center, even though church members are the board of directors. In 1904, we signed the deal for 1240. In 2007, 92.7, and 94.7, if you don't listen to those stations, you ought to be ashamed of yourself because you're missing the best there is. Really, program is fantastic. And 12.4, you can get it all over the place during the day and most places at night. 92.7, it covers from Kingston all the way to Cleveland and Crossville and to the Westtown Mall and a little bit beyond. And then 94.7 got the downtown covered, so we cover everything pretty good. And those things, people talk about outreach. That's a great outreach. We're preaching the gospel 24/7, either preaching or singing it. Amen. So Dottie and I had not planned very well for retirement. And so in 2017, I got this phone call. This man said, God told me to give you my house. And I said, what? And I figured it's down by the railroad track somewhere. You know, it turned out to be in Fox Den. And the last time I checked the appraisal on it, it was worth $1.5 million. We neglected our retirement, but God didn't. I was planning on moving in your garage when I retired. But it looks like I'm not going to retire. I'm shot way past it. So in March 2020, COVID hit. The governor and the mayor's talking about shutting all the churches down. And when it comes to God's church, I can get a little bit rebellious. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, submit to authority. Stream your services, put them on the radio stations I gave you, and you'll reach more people than you have before. And buddy, that's true. We got people listening in several different states and even in different countries. Yay. I'm a world-renowned preacher. Thank you, Jesus. Yay. So, joke, but at least God knows what he's talking about. So the Lord had us, and I didn't have a clue what to do, and so I asked the staff if they could do it. And God used them to work miracles. They had us live streaming by Sunday in 5 days. You say amen. And in 2016, the Lord spoke to us to start raising $40,000 a year to fix up this place because it's getting old and run down. And the carpet, the parking lot was all cracked, giant cracks in it. The carpet in places worn completely out. You could almost trip over it. The AC units were breaking, going down. The burgundy roof had faded out and paint peeling off. It needed painting. And we started obeying God. And I thought it was totally impossible. But in 7 years, God has enabled us to raise over $500,000. As I said earlier, just this year, 2023, we raised $96,000, so we raised over $500,000. So question, has God quit working miracles? Let's all stand.